Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. She's won Tonys. She's won Drama Desk Awards. She starred on TV, on CD, in concert, and in the movies with Burt Reynolds, Clint Eastwood, and Steve Martin. And she writes books, too. Her name is Bernadette Peters, and she'll be in Kansas City this weekend, one of Broadway's brightest stars. She'll join us in just a moment. Later on this hour, a K-State professor tells us how he's getting around the high cost of textbooks, and Brian McTavish swings by with his weekend to-do list. But first up today, Bernadette Peters.
Anything you could do, I could do better. Ha! I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I can shoot a partridge with a single cartridge.
I can get a sparrow with a bow and arrow.
I can live on bread and cheese.
And only on that?
Yep.
So can a rat.
Any note you can sing, I can sing higher.
I can sing any note higher than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
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 How do you sing that high?
I'm a girl.
Bernadette Peters received both a Tony Award and a Drama Desk Award for her performance in Andrew Lloyd Webber's hit musical Song and Dance, and also for her portrayal of Annie Oakley in one of Broadway's most popular musicals, the revival of Annie, Get Your Gun. And Bernadette Peters, welcome. So nice to have you on the show today.
Oh, it's lovely to be here. Thank you, Steve.
Well, very few people on this planet can do as many things well as you can. How did you come up with the courage to take on all these different challenges?
You know, it's so funny. I really don't think about it that way. I do like a challenge, I have to say. It's what keeps me interested. You know, when they presented the show Song and Dance to me, they said, I thought I wasn't hearing right. They said, that character sings the whole first act by herself. I said, what are you saying? There's no one else on stage? No. Wait, now you're telling me that that character, there's no one else on stage. That's right. The whole first act. Yes, there's no, I couldn't, you know, I thought I was hearing wrong. I went, well, then I have to do it.
Wow. Well, which of these different, you know, endeavors, you know, writing a book or, you know, appearing in concert or starring on TV, what was the biggest and the toughest one for you to take on?
So you mostly don't know till you get there, you know, really don't. And I think the last Sondheim show I just did, Follies, It's such a complicated show and complicated character, very complicated character, an interesting character. And I love doing it, and I love, you know, getting to realize, you know, and she's basically not, she's not a, in a good frame of mind, and she doesn't think like somebody who's normal.
So She's
a bit crazy, you know, a bit off. It's not logical. So that was quite a challenge and interesting and wonderful to work on. But you don't really know sometimes till you get there.
And then it's too late sometimes.
Well, usually with a Sondheim show, it's always interesting, so it's never too late. There's always, you just keep growing and growing and growing and growing.
You know, you really grew up in show business, Bernadette. In fact, your mother started you off by putting you on the TV show Juvenile Jury at the age of 3 1/2. Why did she do that to you?
Well, she said I sang in front of the television, which I probably did because I love music and I love to sing. And so I started taking lessons at that age. And this show came up, and I was interesting to talk to, I guess.
Were you cool with it, or did you resist it all?
Well, I didn't, you know, at that young age, I didn't really know what I was doing because television was live in those days. You didn't come home and watch yourself. So I was just out sort of like play acting. When I would go, I was on Horn and Hardy's Children's Hour when I was like 5 1/2, and I would just be out there singing and playing and, you know, fantasizing and singing. And these big machines would cross in front of me. Those were the cameras. And I didn't come home and watch it, so I didn't really realize I was on television. So, you know, much later.
And so for you, show business, it just became as natural to you, a second part of you as what, playing with the kids down the street?
It sure did. It sure did, yeah.
And did that help?
Did what help?
Just having, not having that stage, you know, fear and just being able to be so comfortable with something like that.
It did help to have, you know, to get your chops so young, absolutely. You know, to know a stage and know your way around a stage so young.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were born Bernadette Lazara. Where did the stage name Bernadette Peters come from?
Well, in those days, you know, they told my mother, you can't be ethnic. And so the Peters came from my father's first name. Sort of to placate my father, too, saying, you know, well, I'm in show business, but taking your name and changing my last name, you know, taking away one name but taking his other name. And who knows, I may have had a whole different career if I was Bernadette Lazara. I might have, you know, been Anne Bancroft.
Yeah. Did your father have any problems with that?
No, he didn't. He just went along with, because he loved my mother so much, of what was going on. And but I don't think he really thought much of it, or that I was really any good till I, you know, till he finally started when I was a young adult, as a child. Because you know what it was? He would give me piano lessons, which I really don't have any aptitude at all. And I'd sit at the piano and I'd try to play, and I heard him say to her, she's not very good. And I'm not very good pianist. I don't have any aptitude. But it's very handy to be able to read notes and to read music, which is what I do.
So if you became big today, would you keep Lazara?
Probably.
Things have changed.
Sorry?
Things have changed.
Things have changed. I would keep Lazara, I think. I don't see why not. And absolutely, yeah.
What was it about the theater that grabbed you at such an early age, Bernadette, and really sort of never let go?
You know, when I was a teenager, and then you start to feel all these emotions, and I would take my, I had this wonderful singing coach, and I would take my lesson once a week and just go to his apartment and sit on a stool at his piano, and he'd play the piano, and he just said, just let your mind go and sing these songs, and it just was this wonderful release of all these emotions that young people feel. So it was a lovely place to go and express myself. And basically, that's what you're doing.
Well, what a wonderful teacher to have at that age.
Oh, he was wonderful. Just wonderful. And then his name was Jim Gregory, and then I had an acting teacher also named David LeGrant when I was that age, too, and I would go and do that. So I it was wonderful.
Bernadette Peters performs at 7:30 Saturday night at the Kauffman Center. More information, kauffmancenter.org. If you want to ask Bernadette Peters a question, our lines are open, 816-235-2888. Our email address is uptodate@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. You know, Bernadette, is it more important to you to be known as versatile or as a star of the stage?
It doesn't really matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that when whatever I'm doing, people will, you know, that people will enjoy it. If it's something on television, if it's something on stage, if it's a movie or whatever, an album, that just people will enjoy it.
Is there anything about performing these days at this point in your career that makes you nervous?
The only thing that, if I haven't learned by now, if I don't follow my gut, you know, my decisions are, you know, you go, but something in my gut's telling me, don't do that.
Mm.
But when I know in my gut I feel that it's right, then you know, then that's it.
When did you not follow your gut? And can you recall a role or something that people might recognize that you got into that you wish you hadn't?
I would never feel that.
Yeah. You know, Marvin Hamlisch just passed away. You performed in the musical adaptation of Neil Simon's The Goodbye Girl, which featured music by Marvin Hamlisch. Recall him for us.
I just went to his funeral, and he was too young.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that he accomplished, my God, the Oscars and the Tonys, but the things that he wrote, you know, Nobody Does It Better, and then the theme from The Sting, and Ice Castle theme, and shows, and I have to say his friend who met him at a girls' musical summer camp, he said, I was Marvin's friend and all his life, and I spoke, and he said to me the day he won his Oscar, two Oscars,
mm-hmm.
The Way We Were and The Sting, he said, but I really don't feel fulfilled. Will I ever be happy? And then he spoke to him the day he collapsed, the last day of his life, and he said, you know, I really am happy. I love my wife, Terry, so much. And the show I just wrote, The Nutty Professor, got a great review. And I'm, you know, he was writing the music for the Liberace movie with Michael Douglas. And I guess he was saying, you know, I've lived a wonderful life and I feel content now. And I can leave knowing that.
Thank goodness.
And that's a wonderful thing to be able to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank goodness. Yeah. You're regarded by many as the foremost interpreter of the works of Stephen Sondheim. Let's play one of your most performed Sondheim songs, Being Alive, from the musical Company.
Somebody hold me too close. Somebody hurt me too deep. Somebody sit in my chair and ruin my sleep and make me aware of being alive, being alive. Somebody need me too much. Somebody know me too well. Somebody put me through hell and give me support for being alive. Make me alive. Make me alive. Make me confused. Fuck me with grace. Let me be used.
Wow. You know, a couple of years ago, you helped Stephen Sondheim celebrate his 80th birthday at the Roundabout Theater Company's Sondheim 80 benefit. What do you recall from that evening?
At the Roundabout. Didn't we just do that at Lincoln Center?
Yeah, maybe.
Wait, you mean the one it was glorious.
Mm-hmm.
It was so glorious and so deserved, because he's given us so much music and experiences within the songs, and
yeah.
Each show he would write each show like an actor with a whole different character. Each show would have its own feeling. And his own, you know, Sunday in the Park was about a pointillist, and the music was bop, 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 you know.
Yeah.
And then when I went to see A Little Night Music, and I subsequently went into the show, but I went to see the show, I couldn't believe the same man wrote that glorious, sweeping, beautiful music. So that night at Lincoln Center, we had people from all the different shows from Broadway that couldn't fit on the stage. They came out and stood in the balconies and all over, you know, every level of the theater and sang the song Sunday. He was awash, you know. We all were awash. But well, I just went to see Into the Woods in the Park, and I, you know, I sat there with a little smile on my face the whole time. I just love the score. I love the music. You know, both he and James LaPine, you know, they wrote that show on Sunday in the Park, and it's the things that they, the lessons in life that they've left the world in these two shows are just amazing.
You know, when you hear yourself sing like that, it's just so amazing to me. To what extent do you still, are you happy with how you just sounded there?
I was very happy. I hadn't listened to that. I don't really listen to myself. I mean, that was the concert at Carnegie Hall, and I went, oh, that was a good night.
Yeah, it was a really good night.
That was thrilling. That was exciting.
Really good night. Well, lots of folks have questions for Bernadette Peters. Let's go to some phone calls here. Reggie from Kansas City, Kansas. You're on Up to Date. Reggie, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks.
Hey, Bernadette, I just wanted to tell you you're awesome. And I think you are a lot more awesome than you think you are. And I think a lot of people feel that way, too.
Oh, and she's sweet. Thank you very, very much.
However, I had a question for you. What do you want to do that you haven't done yet, especially with your career?
Well, I don't know. You know, there are maybe some plays, maybe some classics, maybe Eugene O'Neill, maybe Tennessee Williams, maybe.
And you know you can do it.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for talking with me.
Oh, you're so sweet, and thank you for calling.
Thanks, Reggie. Let's go to Beth from Kansas City, Missouri. Beth, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Beth.
Hi, Beth. Good morning.
Hi. You are wonderful and have been one of my favorites for as long as I can remember. And I have to say one of the first times I ever saw or heard you was singing By the Light of the Silvery Moon with Steve Martin.
Aww.
And The Jerk. And I remember watching that with my dad, and he was just absolutely in love with you.
Aww.
And it's one of my fondest memories.
Oh, thank you.
And I wondered what you felt about doing that, or what you thought about doing that movie.
That was a very special.
Or kind of how that played in your career, because
yeah,
it seems so different from what you've done.
Thank you for sharing that. No, that was a very special time, because that movie with Steve Martin and was directed by Carl Reiner. I would ride in the car with them to work every morning, and they were sort of writing it as they went.
Mm.
And saying that today we're going to, how about this and how about, I mean, it just was thrilling. And they'd write it that morning and then do it, you know, that day. So it was a very special time, and I think it's a very special film. So I'm very, very fortunate to have been in that film.
Well, Bernadette, Beth raises an interesting question. How many men on this planet are in love with Bernadette Peters? There you go. Let's go to Barbara from Overland Park. Barbara, you're on with Bernadette Peters. Good morning.
Well, good morning. And Bernadette, it's such a privilege to talk to you.
I want to
mention what I consider to be one of the most underrated musicals of the 70s, and that was Mac and Mabel with you, and I think it was Robert Preston. And you sang a song in that it makes me cry every time I hear it, and it's He Won't Send Roses.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a wonderful program that we listen to on a sister station, KANU, called A Night on the Town.
Sure.
And every once in a while,
my buddy George Harder.
George Harder will play. He sings part of the song, is I Won't Send Roses, and then you sing another verse of it that he won't send roses.
Mm.
And I just think that is one of the most evocative stories. I wish they would bring back Mac and Mabel. I think you could still handle it, and maybe you can think about it.
Oh, well, you know, that is a beautiful score. That's actually, I think, Jerry Herbman's best score, they say, you know, although he's written so many wonderful, wonderful shows, and he loves it, I know. It was a true story of Max Sennett, who created
it
the silent.
Follow the story.
Yeah, the Keystone Cops and the silent movies, and Mabel Normand.
Well, I just wanted to bring back that memory and to say it's still alive out here in Kansas.
thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Greg from Overland Park. Greg, you're on with Bernadette Peters. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi,
thank you.
Hi.
Hello there. I love your music and your talent. Many years ago, you were in Kansas City and gave a great performance at the birthday party for Leonard Bernstein. Oh. And perhaps you remember that. I do, and I remember you singing, and I can cook, too. And just wanted to ask you what it was like to work with Lenny and know him personally.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I did that one show and got to know him just, you know, hardly at all, basically, really. I mean, because he left us alone during rehearsals, and he came to the opening night, and he may have come to a run-through, but he was just ebullient and charming and full of love and full of life and hugged you and a very, very positive, powerful life force in that man. So it was just great.
Greg, thanks for the call. And, you know, he asked about Leonard Bernstein. You've performed with so many interesting, famous folks over the years. I wanted to ask you about, how about Burt Reynolds, of all people? You were in The Longest Yard with him. In fact, I think you got a little hot and heavy with him in one scene. What about working with Burt Reynolds?
Oh, he was great. You know, I mean, he had a great attitude about life, too, and I guess he still does. He was having fun. He enjoyed that his celebrity dumb, whatever they call it, and kind of that charming, boyish, sexy sense of humor, not taking himself seriously type star that he was, nice man. It was a great time. When he was at his peak, and
boy, he was at a peak too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
How about your good friend Mary Tyler Moore?
Oh, I love Mary, and Mary and I started 14 years ago. We started something together called Broadway Bark, because she loves animals too, and we wanted to do something to bring people's attention to shelter animals. All these wonderful dogs and cats, very adoptable, that are just homeless and that are in shelters, that if they don't get adopted, they have to be euthanized. And so 14 years ago, the Broadway community came together with Mary and myself, and between shows on a Saturday, usually the second week in July, we have the celebrities come out from their shows. Between shows, they meet their animal, they come up on stage to try to get the animal adopted, And we had Angela Lansbury come open our show again for the first time, I think. She's a lovely, lovely woman, and we just so appreciate when everyone does that. Audra McDonald and Norm Lewis. And,
well, in fact, you wrote a book that became a bestseller, Broadway Barks, about a lonely dog. It's a kid's book, right?
Yeah, they're children's books, and I have two. I have Broadway Barks and Stella is a Star, and they're about rescuing. Well, one is about the actual rescue event, Broadway Barks, and the other is about a little dog who doesn't think anyone likes her, so she pretends to be a pig.
Why not?
Charming book, and I wrote two songs, one for each book. Those are the only songs I wrote. I do not consider myself a craftsman or a tunesmith. But I do sing one of the songs usually at the end of the show, and it's a lovely little lullaby.
You also work with Clint Eastwood in the film Pink Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Clint.
Oh, it's fun. He's fun. He would always say, just don't overthink it. Just, you know, say the lines, don't overthink it. And
yeah, he doesn't take himself too seriously either, does he?
Nah. No, and then right after that, he started doing. He had like a whole other career in film, where he started doing all these amazing, amazing films, directing them mostly.
You were with Woody Allen in his film Alice back in 1990.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was lovely to be in, to work with him and be in that film. And I played the muse. And basically I wore Woody's glasses and I sort of was like the female version of Woody. And
how does he direct differently than Clint Eastwood?
Well, he just says, and I have to say, Clint didn't direct this movie that we did.
Oh.
He started to have the other guy, but he would say, he would say, just don't overthink it. And I would have fun with him, and I would ad-lib, and he'd look, and he would be right there, and he'd be, you know, right in the moment. So that was fun. Woody would say, you know, these lines, they're not that great. Just say what you want. Make them up. Just, you know, really, you know, ad-lib. Go ahead. They're not great. They're not written in stone. Just say what you want.
Is that hard to do that?
Well, he gave you the freedom to just be in the moment, basically, is what he wanted.
Mm-hmm. How about Mel Brooks in Silent Movie that still is watched so much today?
Oh, he was fun because he would laugh at himself. He'd get all angry, and then he'd start laughing at himself. And Don DeLuise, he would, you know, try to keep Mel calm and not have Mel, you know. But Mel, you know, it's so funny because Mel's anger would be, he'd start to say something and then he'd say, look at me, look what, and then he'd start laughing, you know. So that was interesting, too.
You know, in 2009, Bernadette, you helped celebrate the last birthday of Senator Ted Kennedy. It was a private concert and ceremony held at the Kennedy Center. It was hosted by Bill Cosby, and a lot of members of Congress were there, as well as President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama. You sung There's Nothing Like a Dame that night. What do you remember about that night?
Oh, it was exciting and fun and special. And, you know, he knew he was ill, and he wanted to have a birthday party, and he requested certain people because I worked with him. I sang in Tanglewood with James Taylor and John Williams was conducting, and it was a birthday. It was Yo-Yo Ma and Itzhak Perlman and the other wonderful conductors. They were like, you know, 10 years apart, I think, each one of them, and they were celebrating all three of the birthdays. And Ted Kennedy was there, and he came on stage, and we all rehearsed because he wanted to sing with us, and he sang with us.
Mm.
So he remembered from that time, and he requested me to come and perform. And I thought, well, this would be really fun to do. And so I sang that for him, and then we said hello afterwards. And he was to be admired, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to know you're at the end of your life, and to be, I sat and said hello to everybody afterwards, and to be just, you know, positive and brave.
Mm-hmm.
It's an example to be admired.
You know, I mentioned earlier that you'll be in town on Saturday night to perform at the Kauffman Center. Give us a sense of what you'll be doing in Kansas City that night, Bernadette.
Well, I'm there to entertain, that's for sure, and I know that, and take people on a musical journey, but also to have fun, and I sing some Rodgers and Hammerstein,
mm-hmm.
and I sing Peggy Lee's Fever. I sing that while I'm lying on the piano.
Now, that should draw a crowd. Yeah. Yeah.
I sing lots of Steve Sondheim. And I sing things like When You Wish Upon a Star. So I sing a range of different things.
You know, there's a very famous portrait of you. I think you have it hanging in your home. The portrait that you went up and asked him, Vargas, right? He had stopped.
Now, have you been to my house?
Yes. Yeah, I was there 3 nights ago. You don't recall, do you? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But you went up, you went and asked him to do one final portrait of you. Why did you go do that? Because it was Vargas, right?
It was Vargas, yeah. It was his last portrait. I was doing albums, and I thought, well, this would make a beautiful album cover. He had just done one for the Cars, but he just recreated one of his great paintings. But for me, he recreated the pose, but I took photographs and he painted me, and he did a beautiful job, and it was basically his last portrait, I think.
Now, the story I read suggested that you actually sort of went up and knocked on his door and said, hey, how about one more?
Well, we did. We went and we said hello to him, and we met with him, and he met me, and he agreed to do it, and he talked about how he missed his wife. His wife had died not too long, I think, but he missed her desperately, and went to his little house. Yeah, he lived there for so long in Los Angeles, and it was just charming.
Well, Bernadette Peters performs at 7:30 Saturday evening at the Kauffman Center. For tickets, more information, kauffmancenter.org. Bernadette, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for taking the time with us.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you. It's been lovely talking to you.
We'll see you Saturday night.
Okay.
That's Bernadette Peters. Coming up in our second half today, we'll talk about textbooks and a K-State professor who is getting by without them. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.
Others may deceive you. You decide what's good. You decide alone. But no one is alone. People make mistakes. Fathers, mothers, people make mistakes.